Welcome to the Cullen Economics Report, a weekly look at financial and political topics relating to asset-based investing. Guests on this program pay no fees to appear, and guests and hosts disclose any equity interest in companies' profile. Now, the Cullen Economics Report.
Okay, welcome back. Starting out this hour with Francis Gianfroca. Francis has been a guest on the program a number of times, started in 2009. He is a very, very astute individual. You can read about him on a website entitled thenewledger.com, among other places. Francis, in terms of his prognostications, for lack of better terms, as they relate to the financial community, the economy of the United States, have really proven to be more than just a little accurate in the past, very accurate. So I thought it would be appropriate to start out this particular, the first show of, I guess it's the second show now of 2010, and kind of pick his brain a little bit about what he thinks is going to happen in 2010. You are on, Francis. What do you think? Is it going to be a good year?
I'm thinking it's going to be a very choppy year, Al, and I think that we're going to see a lot of volatility in all the financial markets. And the picture with regard to the economy and corporate earnings is still very, very unsettled.
Mm-hmm.
So I think that, just a couple of specific things. I tend to watch the oil price pretty closely, and I'm guessing that right now it's been strong lately, a little bit over 80. I think you're going to see the oil price reach above 100 at some point during this year, perhaps as high as 110.
Why do you say that?
Well, partly is because of one of the things about the financial markets is we talk a lot about inflation. Okay, we also talk a lot about the Fed creating money.
Okay,
and a lot of people have I will say candidly, it's a simplistic perception that if you print a lot of money, you're going to get a lot of inflation. Well, not necessarily, or at least there are different kinds of inflation. And one of the things that I believe you will see inflate during 2010 is commodities, and the oil price shares along with that. The gold price does as well, and to a certain extent, the stock market does. Now, this is not indicative of real growth in the economy. Okay,
mm-hmm.
We do have, I would say, the case is pretty convincing that we now have a bubble in treasury bonds and treasury notes. Quite overvalued, and I think there are some structural reasons for that that relate to the Chinese, among others. But that's my rationale for thinking that the oil price, we're going to see some pressure, some of the same pressures that appeared in 2008, which, as you recall, was a year of financial crisis, but it didn't become acute, didn't hit the headlines until September with the fall of Lehman Brothers. But it was a crisis year, but it was also a high inflation year in the commodity space. And some of that pressure, you'll also may see it in food prices.
Okay. Well, now what you're talking about, you're very bullish then on commodities for 2000.
No, I didn't say very bullish, but I think I would say I'm moderately bullish.
Okay, tell me why. Why do you think commodity prices are going to go up?
As I say, because they respond to the need for people to put excess money creation someplace.
Okay.
It's not
going to
show up in consumer prices.
Mm-hmm.
Because there's just too much slack in the economy. Well, if you think about what is inflation? Inflation is too many dollars chasing too few goods, right?
Mm-hmm.
Well, consumers aren't chasing too many goods right now. That's point one. And point two is if there were to be what I consider an unexpected improvement in consumer spending, consumer behavior during 2010, there is so much slack in the industrial economy that we could ramp up production to meet the additional demand without resulting in consumer price inflation. So that pressure, pressure for higher prices has to go someplace, and I think you will see it show up in commodities. And one of the delightful aspects of it is that commodities are considered by a lot of professional portfolio managers, professional investors these days, commodities are almost seen as another asset class, which is weird. Okay, there's good reasons to be surprised and mm-hmm. find that strange, but you know, a lot of people will buy oil with no intention of consuming it or turning into jet fuel or whatever, but basically just to hold the futures. And if you look at total trading of oil, it's several times the paper trading in the futures market is several times larger than the total real oil that gets traded and used in industry.
What do you think about precious metals, gold and silver specifically?
I'm sorry, I missed that.
What do you think about precious metals, specifically gold and silver?
Silver, of course, is an industrial metal. Okay, so it's going to respond, if we really do have a production and investment-led recovery in China, which at this point does look strong, then silver is going to respond to it. Gold, of course, has been a major investment story or speculation story over the last year, and I don't buy the case for a lot more upside in gold. I think that gold has some significant downside risk, and that's because there's so much sensitivity to inflation fears as we deficit spend and as our Fed prints money, and the same is happening in all the other industrialized countries too. That was one of my themes for this year, is that you're seeing every country except for, you know, the surplus countries, China particularly, but everybody in Western Europe is in deficit trouble. And so there's so much expectation in many places that we're going to get a burst of inflation. And in fact, I'm hearing that the hedge funds, many hedge funds are now at this point in early in 2010 are well positioned for a sharp rise in interest rates.
Okay.
So
right.
you can see the effect that would have on the gold price. I don't, as I say, my intuition is telling me that there's risk of a pretty significant break in the gold price.
How much?
Oh, the number that pops in is 10 to 20%. Takes us back
A 10% drop in my mind would not be bad at all for the resource.
Well, I'm not
industry.
Talking about a collapse in the gold price. I'm just saying that people who are expecting it to continue a strong upward march, as we saw during 2009, I don't see the case for that.
Yeah. Well, I'm intimately involved, for lack of better terms, in the precious metals industry, and I would have to say
I'd love to know what your perspective is. Yeah.
Well, you know, we talk about that on the show a lot, and I am fairly bullish, but you know, at some point, I start to think I'm starting to, you know, to believe my own stuff too much. My real interest in precious metals, though, is number one, as an insurance policy for individuals, and my wife and I buy silver for that reason. We buy 1 ounce silver rounds just because I sleep better at night. I don't much care if it goes up or down in price. I want to have it so that if something should happen, you know, I have an alternative currency, for lack of better terms. In terms of gold, I'm very interested in the mining industry. And certainly a 10% correction right now would put us down to around $1,000 an ounce. That would be very, very good for the if that was a true floor of $1,000 an ounce, and I think that's very reasonable to assume that that would be the floor, that would be very good for the mining industry, and you'd see a lot of these mining companies become hugely, hugely profitable, I would have to say.
That's great to hear, because it seems to me that, and I'm nothing like the expert on metals that you are, but looking at those companies, they're such a difficult investment because the cost structure is getting harder to find gold because there's less to mine, so that increases their costs for extraction. And then some of them, I think there have been some famous cases, at least one or two, where people just hedged the wrong way and they forward sold too much at low prices and got into real trouble. It just seems to me that if you're going to be a gold investor, but the metal is so hard to buy because the bid-ask spread is high.
Well, yeah, and that's I think the only people who prudently invest in gold either do it through something like goldismoney.com, which is James Turk's deal,
there's an ETF, right?
It's really not an ETF, and I mean one could, I suppose, classify it as that, but it's more of a you actually buy the physical gold. You don't take possession of it. It's stored for safekeeping. Listen, we've been chatting with Francis Gianfroca, a very good guy. He's going to be on the show again a month or so from now. His insight is, in my opinion, truly worth listening to. Big Al's going to be right back.
Al Corlin's firm, A.B. Corlin & Associates Incorporated, provides consulting services to public companies on matters of regulatory compliance. To find out more, follow the link from www.kereport.com. The Corlin Economics Report will be back after this brief timeout.
You may be new to freeze-dried foods. You may have storable food questions. You may want to buy your freeze-dried foods from a very reputable company and not go broke in the process. Welcome to the Freeze-Dry Guy. Okay, actually, we're more than just one guy. We're a California-based company that's been serving our U.S. military and other government agencies with the finest in freeze-dried storable foods and emergency rations since 1970. See all about us at freezedryguy.com. With Freeze-Dry Guy freeze-dried foods, you can and will be ready for just about any unexpected crisis. Freeze-dried guy foods are delicious, require little preparation, and will taste just as fresh decades from now as they do today. Just add hot water and serve. Backpackers consistently rate us number one year after year as the best tasting and ease of preparation. Isn't that what you want for your family? Visit freezedryguy.com or call 866-404-FOOD. That's 866-404-3663 or go to freezedryguy.com. Freeze-Dry Guy, the best you can buy.
A revolution in smoking is underway, a revolution all smokers of traditional cigarettes should know about. Keep listening for a special offer from PowerVapor.com. Standard tobacco cigarettes contain over 4,000 harmful chemicals. Now it's time to release yourself from the grip of big tobacco and experience true smoking freedom. PowerVapor.com is an e-cigarette with the look, feel, and smoke of a real cigarette, but with no tar, no carbon monoxide, and no bad odors. Power Vapor's e-cigarettes deliver just the right amount of nicotine in a water vapor that looks and feels like real smoke. Yes, you choose from four levels of nicotine, and that puts you back in control. Plus, you'll enjoy eight flavors and big savings over traditional cigarettes. Get the facts and see our demonstration video at PowerVapor.com. That's PowerVapor.com. Log on to PowerVapor.com right now for a special 10% discount and 30-day money-back guarantee. PowerVapor.com, the smoking gun heard round the world.
It's obvious God loves us and has a sense of humor. Why? Because He created peppermint. Hi, this is Dr. Catherine Albrecht for GetMint.com. We all know that mint is fun and delicious, but did you know it's also great for your health? Research shows mint can help soothe a headache or calm an upset stomach. It's antimicrobial and antiviral, so it's perfect for flu season, too. You can use it to chase bugs and mice out of your pantry without toxic chemicals. And kids love its great, cool taste. GetMint.com offers quality peppermint and spearmint oils made right here in the USA by fourth-generation mint farmer Peppermint Jim. His pure, pungent mint oils are 100% natural, free from harmful chemicals, and very affordable. So improve your health and spice up your life with natural mint products from GetMint.com or call 1-800-345-9068. That's GetMint.com or 1-800-345-9068 and feel the minty freshness.
America is in deep, deep trouble because we don't know our rights. Let's get real freedom back into America by teaching and promoting the Bill of Rights with the 2010 Freedom Calendar. Why? Because our forefathers gave them to us. Because the Freedom Calendar is true patriotism in action. And because if you don't know your rights and use them, you may lose them. The Freedom Calendar is the best educational tool in over 200 years. It shows in detail how to use your rights, how to answer any bureaucrat, how to use your guaranteed rights for true freedom. The Freedom Calendar is the easy way to learn the proper use and function of each of our rights and is perfect for homeschoolers, business promotions, and fundraisers. Order your Freedom Calendar now for just $15, and discounts are available for bulk orders. Call 651-771-5234. Again, 651-771-5234. The Freedom Calendar. Know your rights or lose them. Order now while supplies last. Call 651-771-5234 today.
You're listening to GCN, the Genesis Communications Radio Network.
Your weekly fix on finance and investing. This is the Corlin Economics Report.
Okay, welcome back. You're listening to the weekend edition of the Cornell Economics Report, heard on all of these Genesis radio stations. Chatting right now with Sean Broderick of Weiss Research. Sean, I have a question for you. One of our listeners, a gentleman by the name of Cullen, took exception, or maybe taking exception is the wrong word, but had some questions about an interview that I did a couple of weeks ago with John Kaiser, where John basically said, and I'm quoting here, that the dependency on the Middle East would be taken away if America develops Alaska and other offshore reserves. And his main question here is, this guy is not an anti-driller by any stretch of the imagination, but he's saying, and I'm quoting Kevin here, he's saying, having said that, I just don't see any compliant reserve numbers that show anything like the oil reserves we need to make energy independent from foreign sources of petroleum. I would agree with him. What are your comments on that?
Yeah, that is true, because one thing is like any addict, and we need more and more oil all the time, right? We have to work on our actual need for oil. We have to cut down how much oil we use, because we can find all the oil in the earth, but if we don't stop using it so much, and we are the biggest oil user in the world, then we're just going to run out. And the problem with ANWR is we don't know how much is up there. There are some, you know, estimates that have been made. Certainly drilling up there would help kind of figure out how much there is, but it's not going to add up to that much, considering that America uses about 20 million barrels of oil a day. And so supposing that does come online, that'll ease how much we use for a while, but then we'll be right back where we are, because what we really have to deal with is our consumption. We have to make the transition to vehicles that use a lot less oil. We have to make the transition to a whole bunch of things, because without that transition, finding new stuff like ANWR really won't help, because even if you go with the upper limit of like how much they have in there, maybe 40 billion barrels a day, that's at most, you know, maybe 5 years of like U.S. supply. And our energy need keeps growing. We keep using more and more. We have to turn that equation around. If we can, you know, then we can make the best of like what we have left. But we have to do that before we do anything else, I think.
Okay, Sean, here's an interesting question, though. Right now, we're talking strictly about Alaska. We're talking about ANWR. But let's talk about offshore drilling that for the most part, has been stopped, okay?
Sure.
And let's also talk about onshore drilling. I mean, I'm familiar with a number of projects that have not been able to have been developed because of various environmental regulations. I mean, things in, for example, in Colorado, et cetera. I guess my question is this, and this is where the interview was going last weekend with John, is my question is, what if you take everything, not just ANWR, but offshore drilling, onshore drilling, et cetera, wouldn't all of that in total, and I don't know the numbers, man, you do, but wouldn't all of that in total basically significantly decrease, if not eliminate, our dependence on foreign oil supplies?
Well, yes and no. For one thing, it's a free market, so the people who actually take that oil out of, like, wherever they find it, have the right to sell that to, like, whoever. Now, new supply coming onto the market could lower the price of oil, which is what we'd all like. However, for example, in the Gulf of Mexico, let's go there, they have to go down through at least 1,000 feet of water and then through 5 miles of crust, and then to get to the new supposedly big deposits that they found out there, that isn't cheap oil. I mean, I think we should see more drilling along the shelf, you know, because there are more deposits out there, but it isn't going to be cheap. The days of cheap oil have really gone by. We are seeing natural gas drilling all over the place, you know, the Bakken Shale and like stuff like that. There are other alternative energy sources we can use, but they aren't the cheapest around. I mean, when we had new natural gas supply come on the market, that was great, and the price of natural gas down this past year, but what happened? We saw drilling stop again. This happens every single time. And so now I think natural gas is actually a good place to put some money to work, because so much drilling stopped that they're probably going to have prices go higher this year, because it interrupts the new projects they need in the pipeline, literally, to make up the decline that they're going to have coming. So this is the problem, is like, you can say, yes, we should drill here and there and there, but until we deal with the demand situation, it's really not going to do much good. And we are out of the cheap stuff, that's for sure.
So basically, then, John Kaiser's premise, as he said last weekend, you disagree with. You're saying that simply by developing, by increasing exploration in the United States, and increasing development, both here and in Alaska and offshore, that's not going to solve the problem, correct?
That's only half the equation, yes. I mean, we have to take care of the other equation. I don't mind being in disagreement with them. I disagree with people all the time. Heck, I was up in Toronto speaking to a very well-known person who was absolutely sure that China was about to crane off a cliff, that the whole thing was a giant Ponzi scheme. I think the Chinese economy is actually turning out to be doing quite well, which is what I told him then. You know, I mean, I don't mind disagreeing with people. I think he needs to look at the rest of the equation, which is demand. Unless we deal with demand, then we don't actually have a solution. You would get an incomplete on your homework if you turn it in and only doing half the equation, and that's what he's talking about.
That's interesting. So basically then, in terms of, and Kevin, I want to thank you, if you're listening here, and I'm sure you are, I want to thank you for posing this question. So basically then, the administration, the current administration is really correct, and many of the folks from the conservative side of the aisle are incorrect when they're saying we can eliminate all of our dependency on foreign oil if we simply explore onshore and offshore of the United States, right? That's a fallacious argument, correct?
Well, yes. However, when you say that the current administration is correct, remember that they've also promised that they're going to wean us away from foreign oil, right? And they aren't doing anything about it. So, I mean, yes, we have heard this argument from one side of the aisle, drill, baby, drill, that'll solve everything.
Yep.
The thing is, because that's an easy thing to say, and some people like the simple arguments, but again, the simple argument isn't the whole equation. But the problem is the other side is not really giving us what we need. You don't see anything being done. Are they raising the like fuel efficiency requirements in Detroit? After all, we own some car companies right now. If they really wanted to, they could really push some stuff through and say, no, the cars have to be a lot more fuel efficient. They aren't doing anything like that. Why? Because they don't think the American we have in this country is they can't deal with that. And unless you deal with that, then you are really going to be up the creek down the road. That's actually kind of a mixed metaphor. Sorry about that.
Mixed metaphor. Okay, and you're saying basically we are not dealing with it right now, and that
no.
is... No. Yeah, okay. Well,
no one is. Either side of the aisle. That's the problem. I mean, you can't even get them to talk about peak oil, really.
Yeah.
You know, I mean, we'll hear someone actually publish a paper on it, or maybe someone comes out and, like, speaks on it, but is peak oil official government policy? I can tell you it's real. It's out there. It should be part of official government policy, and it's not. I mean, yes, the Democrats on the White House, why aren't they doing something about this? They're the reality party, right?
Sean, well, got to cut you back.
Nothing more real than everyone having to ride bicycles down the road.
Sean,
got to
cut
gasoline.
Sean, got to cut you off for just a second. We need to take a break.
Dang it.
We are going to be right back. I'm going to continue with Sean Broderick. Stick around.
To find out more about today's guest, visit us on the web at www.kereport.com. You're listening to the Corlin Economics Report. We'll be back in a moment.
Well, we are opposed around the world by a monolithic and ruthless conspiracy.
The JFK assassination.
This is Houston. Say again, please.
Houston, we've had a problem.
Landing on the moon.
The pictures of airplanes flying into buildings, fires burning, huge structures collapsing, have filled us with disbelief.
9/11.
I know that many of my supporters are disappointed. I am too.
Global warming. Historic events. Or conspiracies. If you seek alternative information, go to conspiracyking.com. Discover the largest and best selection of conspiracy books in North America at conspiracyking.com. Read articles and the works of authors worldwide at conspiracyking.com. Want to contact us? Call toll-free 800-294-5250. That's 800-294-5250 for conspiracyking.com. Exposing tyranny since 1991.
You don't have to be in the military to enjoy military surplus savings. Right now at MaineMilitary.com, you'll find savings on the top must-have military supplies. M10 gas masks for $12 or 3 for 30. Gas mask hoods, $4 or 3 for 10. Mask filters, $6 or 3 for 15. Save big on British chemical suits, only $12. Israeli gas masks, $20. Trigger finger gloves, $5 a pair or $36 a dozen. Snowshoe binding for $8 or $48 a dozen, and so much more. Even hard-to-find surplus items, all at surplus prices. Preparing the whole family has never been so affordable at MaineMilitary.com. MaineMilitary.com, one of the last surviving true surplus stores in the country. Shop now at MAINEMilitary.com or call 877-608-0179. That's 877-608-0179 today.
If you owe the IRS money you can't pay, then listen carefully, because you already know that the problem won't go away by itself. You can get help today from the leading tax expert in the country, Dan Pilla.
Hi, I'm Dan Pilla. The IRS isn't going to just forget about you. Right now, the IRS is hiring thousands of tax collectors to go after delinquent accounts just like yours. That's why you need to take action today, and I can help. I take a simple but proven approach to solving your tax debt problem. First, I stabilize collections so you don't have to worry about wage and bank levies. Next, I build a detailed plan to get your debt reduced to the fullest extent possible, sometimes even eliminated. Finally, I work with you every step of the way to get your problem solved once and for all. So call now for a free consultation. Call 1-800-346-6829.
Dan Pilla will solve your tax problem, guaranteed. He's helped thousands of people, and he can help you too. Call us today at 800-346-6829. That's 800-34-NO-TAX.
Hello. At OfTheField.com, we strive to empower you with wild food preparedness. We get lots of amazing positive feedback, most of which we feature on OfTheField.com. Here's a small sample of all that people like you have to say about the wild food experience.
It's inspiring for many who are affected by the recent downturn of the economy.
I already knew a bit about foraging and edibles, but you take it to a whole new level.
A thousand thanks to you for all that great knowledge. It was empowering.
When I was in the Navy, I went through a couple of quick land survival classes.
Thank you for being an inspiration and for all the work that you do.
I really appreciate the depth and detail of the information.
Thank you so much.
Much love and respect to you from all of us here in the boonies.
Thanks again.
Knowledge is power, and that power brings peace.
Folks, thanks for letting us help you get back to basics. Read all of the testimonials at ofthefield.com. You can order online for you and your loved ones, or call 1-888-51-EAT-FREE to share in the secret.
America's number one source for independent talk radio for over a decade. We are the GCN Radio Network.
Providing unique reporting on markets and companies since 1990, this is the Corlin Economics Report.
Okay, welcome back. I am continuing my discussion with Sean Broderick. I think we answered our listener's question dealing with the his concern about, you know, does the U.S. really have enough in terms of oil reserves to become totally under our current consumption habits? Can we become totally independent of foreign producers? And Sean's a real expert in this area, and he's saying, no, we really can't. We need to change our habits. I want to talk with Sean about something else, though, that I think you folks will find to be very, very interesting. Sean just published a book entitled go ahead, Sean, tell us about it.
It's called The Ultimate Suburban Survivalist Guide, and mm-hmm. It's all about preparing and, like, changing your life just to deal with, like, any bad stuff that can come down the road without spending too much money doing it, too.
Okay. Number one, let's talk about a synopsis. Let's talk a little bit of summary about the book and why should people buy it?
Well, because I think I'm not the only one losing sleep over this, and I was. After Hurricane Katrina, I realized no one was going to come save me if, like, things go wrong. And the thing is, all of us will probably be hit by some kind of bad stuff in our lives. And I actually cover some of the small things, because the two minor catastrophes that are most common are either a flood or fire. And, like, many people have to deal with those things. Those are two things that I deal with, because if you prepare for those, you're halfway down the road to preparing for some of the big major catastrophes that can come, like energy crisis, food crisis, which I think we are headed toward, quite frankly, or else things like epidemics, pandemics, other really scary stuff that looks like you only see it in a movie on TV, but you know what? It can happen in your neighborhood too. And so, so I deal with how to prepare for that, how to do that without spending too much money, which I think is important because you can overspend on this stuff easily. I mean, there are people quite willing to rip you off out there, and I hate that because I think that if someone's taking, you know, the effort to actually prepare and get themselves prepped for this stuff, other people should not take advantage of that. That really ticks me off. And also, I go beyond that. Beyond preparing your house, preparing for what comes next, I also deal with what happens if you become, you know, a refugee, which is something no one wants to think about, but you have to prepare for those kinds of things. Also, how to live through things like energy crisis. There are things you can do now, very simple things to change your life and also prepare a little bit that will really save your bacon if the manure hits the fan.
This book is currently available on Amazon, The Ultimate Suburban Survivalist Guide, The Smartest Money Moves to Prepare for Any Crisis. Sean, you know, I'm not sure that I subscribe to your theory. I, as of late, haven't lost much sleep over this. Tell me why you're so concerned.
Maybe it's just because of what I'm reading and stuff. For example, our economy, there is an element of the Ponzi scheme to it, especially when you get to the Wall Street banks and stuff like that.
I totally agree with that. Totally.
Right. Well, I mean, so we learned no lessons from the previous financial crisis, at least any that have become public policy, therefore setting us up for another financial crisis down the road. The only thing they have done is made it harder for you to take money out of the bank. I don't know if you've seen those latest things that have gone into effect. So what happens if we have a real currency crisis, which is one of the things that I talk about? I talk about alternative currencies. I also talk about what happened in Russia. Many people say, people who have lived there, that what's happening in the U.S. now with our economic setup, with our political setup, with many of the things that they see going on, it gives them deja vu with what happened over in Russia. People who have lived in both places. That doesn't mean we are a communist society or that they were capitalists when they hit the wall. It's just that they see the same kinds of big bureaucratic political organization that's unable to adapt and deal with any of the hard stuff that comes up and faces it. And that's what really brought Russia down, is they were unable to adapt and unable to deal, and so they just fell. And I'm not saying that's going to happen next year, not even within the next 3 years or so, but I think it's very important to start preparing now, because I sleep a lot better now because I am prepared. For example, and let's talk about this. I don't know how much food you have in your house, but you would be amazed, because I live in Florida and I've seen this, how after a hurricane, there are lines outside the supermarkets for people waiting to buy food simply because they don't stock food in your house. And maybe you do have some supplies. The problem is your neighbors don't. And so you really have to prepare and hopefully get your neighbors prepared. One thing that I talk about is trying to get things going in your neighborhood, trying to get a neighborhood watch going, also raising neighborhood awareness that people should be a little prepared for the hard times to come. I also have some great stories from people who lived through Hurricane Katrina and also Argentina, which is a country that was hit by a currency crisis. And the guy, or at least one of the guys that I talked to from Argentina, he can see the similarities between what happened in Argentina and what is going on here now when the government is really fudging the money. And that's the scary thing. He was a journalist. He lived through it. Now he cleans pools in Florida. You know, but he's much happier because he got out of that terrible situation down there. I don't want it to be a situation where you have to get out. But I think that if you're better prepared for this kind of stuff, you'll be much happier if and when
it happens. Yeah.
It happens.
Okay. Sean Broderick, take a look at his book. Sean, I appreciate you being on the show, taking some time. The gal's
and it's not all scary stuff.
I know.
Some humor in there because you know
I can't
write without some kind of smiles in there.
There you go.
So, it may make you start drinking, but at least you should read the book and drink at the same time. That's all I'm saying.
Okay, Big Al's going to be right back. We're going to bring Kim Hegelberg in the studio. We're going to talk about what appears to be a modern-day investment scam. Stick around. Okay, back with Kimberly Hagelberg. I'm going to provide a better introduction to Kimberly at the start of the fourth segment. But in terms of just an introduction here, I want to say that we are covering a story that Kimberly broke in the Cleveland Plains Dealer last weekend. And the interesting part of this story is that there is an individual out there who is now living in Peru who allegedly has built U.S. investors out of millions and millions and millions and millions more dollars. And this is the third or fourth time that he's done something like this. And, you know, before we get into the guts of that matter, I have some questions to Kimberly that I'm sure she can answer much better than I would speculate. And, Kim, the first question I have is, why isn't the SEC or the Justice Department going after this guy? What's going on here?
Well, one of the reasons is that the SEC doesn't have the power to go and arrest anyone.
Mm-hmm.
The Securities and Exchange Commission will seize your property. They will, along with the Justice Department, build a case in civil court, and they can hold you civilly liable.
Mm-hmm.
They can't arrest you. They can't extradite you. The Justice Department can do those kinds of things, and they can do it through the U.S. Attorney's offices and through the extradition process. Now, when someone's had the opportunity to leave this country and is operating in Peru or, you know, anywhere else,
mm-hmm.
in Central or South America or Europe,
mm-hmm.
I mean, they are out of the reach of, you know, the federal courts, basically.
Sure, right.
You're going to have to file extradition papers, and those go through diplomatic channels. If you are outside the U.S. court system, you have to contend with the courts in another country where there might be extensive and expensive appeals, and, you know, a person who is fighting extradition could, you know, call long lists of witnesses, and it could be delayed for a long time. So people who specialize in this kind of law will tell you that the government agencies, as strapped as they are less likely to want to spend the money for financial crimes. Drug dealers, yes. Murderers, yes.
You know,
like that.
You folks want to hear a really interesting story, stick around, because Kimberly and I are going to be talking about really, really specifically what happened here with a fellow who, as I said, has bulked people out of, I would say, probably hundreds of millions of dollars. And it's really interesting that our government can't go in and get them. In the next segment, you're going to see really how awful a story this is and how disappointed I am in the federal government not going after this guy, because there are a ton of people out there who've been significantly hurt. Stick around.
Healthy Hearts Club presents Heart and Body Extract. Supports clean, clear arteries, healthy blood pressure levels, healthy circulation and blood flow, regular heart rate and beat. What if you could avoid heart attacks? What if you could avoid emergency room visits? What if you could avoid surgery? How? With this Heart and Body Extract. 100% organic. No negative side effects. Guaranteed to work or your money back. Call now. 866-295-5305. 866-295-5305. Or order online at heartandbody.com. Take the high road to a long and healthy life. 866-295-5305 or heartandbody.com.
America is in deep, deep trouble because we don't know our rights. Let's get real freedom back into America by teaching and promoting the Bill of Rights with the 2010 Freedom Calendar. Why? Because our forefathers gave them to us. Because the Freedom Calendar is true patriotism in action. And because if you don't know your rights and use them, you may lose them. The Freedom Calendar is the best educational tool in over 200 years. It shows in detail how to use your rights, how to answer any bureaucrat, how to use your guaranteed rights for true freedom. The Freedom Calendar is the easy way to learn the proper use and function of each of our rights and is perfect for homeschoolers, business promotions, and fundraisers. Order your Freedom Calendar now for just $15, and discounts are available for bulk orders. Call 651-771-5234. Again, 651-771-5234. The Freedom Calendar. Know your rights or lose them. Order now while supplies last. Call 651-771-5234 today.
This is Alex Jones, and I want to tell you about the Ecola Blue Atmospheric Water Generator that produces pure drinking water right from the humidity in the air. No, this isn't science fiction. It's very real. I know because I use one every day in my own home, and it's available right now to you. Because you know exactly where your water comes from with Ecola Blue, you'll know what's in your cup. Clean, great-tasting water without all the pollutants. Get your family off the grid today by ordering your own Ecola Blue Atmospheric Water Generator for your home or business. Their best seller, the Ecola Blue 28, produces up to 7 gallons of water every day. The Ecola Blue 28 is easy to use and economical. Generate your own pure water from the humidity in the air. This system is free of chemicals and uses a multi-stage filtration system, including reverse osmosis, carbon filters, and ultraviolet lights. Order now and claim your water independence today by calling Ecola Blue at 1-800-691-6043. That's 1-800-691-6043. Or visit Ecola Blue on the web at www.ecolablue.com today.
Hello, this is Tom with HempUSA.org. Most of you have been hearing my ads for the past few months, and it's no secret that the economy is failing and prices are rising in all sectors. If you've been thinking of a nutrient-dense daily food source and a storable food for yourself and family, the time to act is now. At HempUSA.org, we still believe that food will be your greatest asset in these trying times ahead. Please call 1-908-691-2608 and see what our powder, seeds, and oil can do for you. Beware, be smart, and be ready. Call 908-691-2608 or visit us at hempusa.org. Families need this high-quality natural food source for its low price and long storage shelf life. This incredible food source should be a staple part of your diet every day. Call 908-691-2608. Or visit us at hempusa.org today.
The GCN Radio Network, providing the world with hard-hitting talk radio. GCN, great talk radio starts here.
Welcome back. Here to wrap up the weekend edition of the Cortland Economics Report, heard on all of these Talkstar radio stations, talking about a story that is really, really interesting. The story was brought to my attention by a woman by the name of Laura Stein last September. I have been following it since then. The story centers around a guy who it really appears is fleecing the public, for lack of better terms, and he's doing it in our industry, which bothers me, our industry being asset-based investing. A woman by the name of Kimberly Hagelberg, who is an award-winning investigative journalist, she's based in Northeast Ohio, just recently wrote a story that appeared in the Cleveland newspaper. Let me tell you a little bit about Kim first, though. Her work has appeared on NPR, that's National Public Radio, and in the Newhouse and Knight Rider newspapers. She was a member in 2006 of a reporting team that was awarded the 2006 Pulitzer Prize and Headliner Award for their coverage of Hurricane Katrina. She was chosen for a Western Knight Center Fellowship for reporting on Islam and Muslims in the United States, and she's won numerous awards from the Cleveland, Ohio Press Club and the Society of Professional Journalists. So you can rest assured that what this lady writes, you can pretty much take it to the bank. Kimberly, thank you so much for joining me. I appreciate it.
Oh, thanks for having me.
Okay, what's the deal on this guy? You have been following this particular situation, if I'm not mistaken, for somewhere around 10 years. And we have a guy who used to operate out of the United States, now operates out of South America, specifically in Peru. I don't even know what the guy's correct name is, but I know that it appears he has built literally millions, tens of millions of dollars from would-be investors. What did you come up with in your story?
Well, his real name is Eric Bartoli,
mm-hmm.
and he is an American citizen who also, through his wife, is now a citizen of Peru.
Okay.
I first encountered Eric in 1999, when I was covering a financial scam in Northeast Ohio.
Mm-hmm.
The SEC had moved into Mr. Bartoli's businesses and seized his assets. They had determined that he had invented Cyprus funds in, certificates of deposits and securities,
mm-hmm.
and had raised about $65 million and disappeared.
Yeah.
And left in Ohio and Latin America about 1,200 investors.
Wow.
And that was the first deal that I knew about. That operated as a Ponzi scheme, and he which basically, as you know, is you sell to a group of investors and then you sell another the same product to subsequent investors
mm-hmm.
to pay dividends.
Sure.
So it appears that the business is growing and that the investment is doing well when, in fact, it's not.
Mm-hmm.
In this particular case, the SEC determined that of the $65 million in Cyprus funds, only about $4 million was ever invested.
Wow. Wow.
So that's how I saw him first.
Yeah.
And basically, the SEC was able to seize his assets,
mm-hmm.
but they never really got their hands on him.
Mm-hmm.
We followed him through six or seven states and Italy and Malta and Peru, and he's been there since 2000. And apparently, according to the court records and the interviews with the sources that you've mentioned
mm-hmm.
and some emails we have obtained, the government has known his location since about 2001.
Why aren't they doing anything?
Well, I think that the short answer is that the laws involved in securities fraud and the way the SEC operates haven't kept pace with the global marketplace.
Mm-hmm.
Because of their own rules, they
yeah.
couldn't warn Americans that someone that had been convicted of something here was somewhere else working under another name. They could only say, according to SEC rules, what had occurred in court, which was that Eric Bartoli had been found civilly liable for this
mm-hmm.
and that he had fled and that there was an indictment that was a couple of years old and that all this was done in his absence.
Yeah.
And, you know, the Internet allowed him to reach out, to continue to reach out to Americans, and that's why this whole new group of investors is now alleging that he's defrauded them also.
There are a fair amount of people. I have spoken with three of them personally, and they're pretty adamant that this guy grabbed a whole bunch of money and now will not give it back to them, Duke being one, Duke's attorney in Seattle being two, and then there is a family who live on the East Coast who also are pretty unhappy that they got built out of a fair amount of money. But this guy, as I understand it, is fairly slick in that everything seems to be word of mouth. There don't seem to be any written contracts until he cashes their checks. And it strikes me that could be his downfall.
He is operating in plain sight yet today.
Yeah.
More than 80 inches of investigative reporting when you consider everything that was in the Cleveland Plain Dealer
mm-hmm.
on Sunday.
Mm-hmm.
Two audio pieces and who knows how many hours of reporting over 10 years have gone into this, and he is still operating on his website in Peru this morning in plain sight.
Well, I tell you, I get his newsletter every day. I don't get it from him. I get it from another source. And the one comment I would make is this fellow's writing, I know a little bit about finance and a little bit about economics, actually quite a bit, and this fellow's writing is brilliant. He knows the audience that he is feeding, for lack of better terms. He tells them exactly what they want to hear. Oftentimes, I agree with many of the things that he says. The man is absolutely, in what he is doing, Kimberly, I have to tell you, the man is absolutely brilliant. I mean, based on what I've heard from his investors and based on the story that was in your article in the Cleveland Plains Dealer, the guy's got to be psychotic, because anybody as bright as he is with the ability to write as well as he does that turns around and cheats people out of millions of dollars, I mean, you know, the proverbial screw has got to be loose, I would think.
You know, I mean, as a journalist, that's That's a conclusion that's hard to draw. There would be no way that I could confirm his sanity, but tell you that, you know, it's been fascinating to me over the years how well he adapts to the different groups he's dealing with.
Mm-hmm.
The Cypress Fund investors are totally different than this new group of investors. Cypress Funds folks were blue-collar investors. They were working people who didn't know much about investments.
Mm-hmm.
Most of them were retirement age, and,
yeah.
you know, they lost their life savings.
Sure.
And he would go into their homes and you know, start talking about his grandfather who came from, you know, Italy was what he was saying at the time.
Sure.
And you know, tell just basic stories that, you know, the iconic stories of people coming to America and making their own way.
Mm-hmm.
And those were the people who did that in their lifetime. This new group of investors,
yeah.
they're the kind of folks who most of them are, you know, have money to spend.
Mm-hmm.
They're, you know, they're making $1
yep.
a year at minimum.
Sure.
And they have invested before. They know all about this, but they also are... They have a basic suspicion of government and government regulations
mm-hmm.
and the agencies that were put in place to regulate the stock market.
Mm-hmm.
He plays into that. He plays into folks' libertarian
mm-hmm.
and just really preaches to the choir. People
yeah.
involved in this latest fraud that have lost hundreds of thousands of dollars
mm-hmm.
have told me to a person they never checked the investment with the SEC. To see if any of the funds were registered, any
right.
of the stocks were registered. They never checked his name.
Mm-hmm.
Now, because of the way the SEC operated in this case, found Enrico Orlandini anyway.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
But in most cases, you can contact government agencies, anybody doing business, as you know, no matter where they're doing business from,
mm-hmm.
it, with Americans, are subject to American laws.
Yeah.
So with the Moss Groups, he would be subject to the securities laws in that state and
mm-hmm.
federal laws. And in Ohio, he was, you know, he was accountable to the Ohio Department of Securities.
Sure.
But they never checked.
You know, it's sad that things like that happen in our society. Capitalism is getting a bad name for some of the transgressions that have occurred. This is just another one along the same lines. And I have to tell you, I really fault the authorities for not taking action against this guy. Kimberly, thank you so much for your time. I appreciate it.
You're welcome.
The Corlin Economics Report is produced for A.B. Corlin and Associates. Opinions expressed on this program are intended solely for the entertainment of our listeners, do not constitute investment advice, and are not necessarily those of this network, radio station, or our sponsors. Find out more about this program and today's guest by visiting www.kereport.com. For Al Corlin, this is Colleen Robbins. Join us again next week for the Corlin Economics Report.
Hi, Ted Anderson. I'm pleased to announce a completely new and exciting way to listen to your favorite GCN Live program on your telephone. Simply by calling 712-338-7200, you'll be hearing your favorite GCN Live programs in seconds. Tune into all of our channels. I have made sure that everyone who wants to hear GCN Live will have the opportunity to do so. Call to listen at 712-338-7200. That's 712-338-7200. Thanks again for listening to GCNLive.com.
We the People grow cotton, weave fabric, engrave ink, embed strips and fibers to protect from counterfeit, then carting to a private bank, having it lent back at interest, forcing taxes to service debt. This capitalism, or was Jefferson correct when stating a central bank issuing the public currency is a greater menace to the liberties of the people than a standing army? Hi, Ted Anderson. I'm placing a free silver dollar in a book that explains our monetary system. Call for your copy, 800-686-2237. It's time to understand the system. Call 800-686-2237. That's 800-686-2237.